请坐。
Please be seated.
我们一同打开希伯来书第九章。
Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 9.
希伯来书第九章。
Hebrews chapter 9.
我们念从第二十二节一直念到第二十八节，二十三到二十八节。
Verse 23 to 28.
我们一同来读，一、二、三。照着天上样式做的物件，必须用这些祭物去接近。但是天上的本物，自然当用更美的祭物去接近。因为基督并不是进了人手所造的圣所，这不过是真圣所的影像，乃是进了天堂。如今我们现在上帝的面前，也不是多次将自己献上，像那大祭司每年带着牛羊的血进入圣所。如果这样，他从创世以来就必多次受苦，但如今在这末世显现一次，把自己献为祭，好除掉罪。按着定命，人人都有一死，事后却有审判。像这样，基督既然一次被献，担当了多人的罪，将来要向那等候他的人第二次显现，并与罪无关，乃是为拯救他们。我们再次祷告，主啊，感谢你，我们已经读了你的话，我们已经打开你的书，求助这个时候读我们内心所存的一切，你打开我们的思想，使我们被你的光照耀，我们就不继续活在黑暗中间，被你的灵引导，我们就必不必走出错误，回头的走错误的道路。求主引导我们，你听我们的祷告，给讲着翻译的二人如同一人，同心合意，把你的真理传讲传递的好。我们感谢赞美，这样祈求祷告，是奉耶稣基督得胜的名求你，阿们。上个礼拜我们提到了基督借着永远的灵，把自己献上的祭品，就产生了永远救赎的果效。
Last week we mentioned that Jesus has a salvation that's eternal in nature because he did it through the eternal spirit.
他不但可以救赎以后的人，在他信仰对他的信心所产生的救恩的恩典的印情。
Not only can he save the people that comes after him, the people who have faith on his salvation.
他的救赎照样对以前的人产生了同样的果效。
His salvation is effective also to the people before him.
单单这一点就是所有的宗教从来没有人思想到。
Just this point alone is something which all other faith have never thought of.
如果宗教实际上就是叫人行善做好的话，
If the purpose of religion is to lead us into good works,
我真正就悟到宗教的要旨，也知道你们的教训是真理的话，
If I think that I understand the theme of the religion and know that it is of the truth,
我就决定从今以后我不再犯罪，我过一个合乎宗教伦理的生活。
I will determine right now that I will sin no longer and fulfill the religious requirement in ethics.
如果说立的志是这么伟大，而立志遵行的心又是这样的迫切，到十年再犯罪是一件可能的事。
Is it possible at all to have such a determination and not to sin all the way to death?
从我今天开始，我不再犯罪。
From today onwards, I will no longer sin.
那我一定是个很伟大的人。
And surely I will be a great person indeed.
这样的宗教会产生这样的果效，也是很伟大的宗教。
And it will be a great faith that is able to produce a person like that.
但有一件事情从来没有解决。
But there is something that can never be solved.
这是从今天开始的例子。
This is an example that starts from today.
从今天我不再犯罪。
I say from today I will not sin.
那么昨天的罪怎么样？
But what about my sins of yesterday?
从前的罪怎么样？
About the past.
过去的罪怎么样？
The sins of the past.
根本没有一个宗教有资格解决这个问题。
Not a single faith can solve such kind of problems.
希伯来书九章第十五节提到一句很伟大的话。
Hebrews chapter 9 verse 15 has a very great verse.
因为他也洗净前幼之人所犯的罪。
Because he died as a ransom to set them free.
他可以赦免前幼之人所犯的罪。
From the sins committed under the first covenant.
这就清楚给我们看见基督的这个救赎的功能是永恒的果效。
Here we see the salvation of Christ having eternal effectiveness.
他救赎的功能在以后的日子产生果效。
His salvation is effective for days to come.
他救赎的工作对以前的日子也照样产生果效。
And also effective for days that have passed.
这样在主后的人是向后看， 认领基督为他们成全的救赎。
Those come after the Lord will look backwards to see the accomplishment of salvation by God.
主前的人是向后向前看，盼望将要来的基督为他们解决罪的问题。
But those who live before Jesus Christ look forward to Jesus Christ solving their problem of sin.
新约的基督徒的信心是往后看，基督所已经成全。
The faith of New Testament Christians is a back-looking one to see that has been accomplished.
旧约的圣徒的信心是向前盼望将要来的耶稣基督。
But Old Testament says look forward to Jesus Christ that is to come.
那为什么可以对将要的基督的产生盼望呢？
How can we have hope on the Christ that is to come?
因为这是信实的上帝对人最大的应许。
Because this is the greatest promise of the faithful God towards
us. 所以将要来的就是那位神为人预备的救恩一定要来。
Surely that which God has prepared, the salvation for man will surely come.
所以整个旧约就建立在对以后的盼望里面。
The entire Old Testament is established upon this hope.
他们对上帝的信是他们对这个信的上帝所做的应许产生了合理的盼望。
Because of their faith in God, there is a reasonable hope towards the future.
因为应许的上帝是凭着他的信实赐下应许。
God gave us His promises based on His own faithfulness.
神是至大神。
He is the greatest God.
神是信实的神。
He is faithful.
神是不改变的神。
He never changes.
神是绝对不背负自己的神。
He will not betray Himself.
所以这些的神性就构成了神信实的可信的程度。
All these attributes give us the faithful God.
这些的事就成了神应许伟大的基础。
And all this establishes the foundation of His promises.
这样的神所赐下的应许就变成了盼望的真正的原因。
And this is the reason, the true reason why we have hope.
我们盼望神。
We look forward to God.
因为我们的神是可靠。
Because He is trustworthy.
我们相信神。
We believe in Him.
因为神是可信的。
Because He is to be believed.
神赐下的应许。
The promises He gave us.
一定要成就。
Will surely come true.
这个应许在时间的过程中间赐下。
The promises have been given to us in the process of time.
所以这个应许也在时间的过程还没有到终点的时候必然成就。
It will be accomplished before the end of time.
所以在时间过程中间的人
as human being living in the process of time.
带着盼望在时间过程的中间来行走。
They will live in the process of time with hope.
这就是人类最大的力量。
This is the greatest strength of human beings.
有盼望的人生活是有力量。
A person who has hope has strength in his life.
有绝望的人生活是没有力量。
A person who has become hopeless has no strength.
当你经过许多的患难，受很多不能解释的痛苦的时候。
When you go through a lot of suffering, a lot of unexplainable suffering,
你绝对不可以放弃对神的盼望。
You cannot give up your hope on God.
因为那是真正使你坚持下去最大的动力。
It is the greatest power for you to sustain yourself.
神是信实。
God is faithful.
神的应许是可靠的。
His promises is to be trusted.
除非神不说话。
Unless God doesn't speak.
神说的话一定要成就。
Once He has spoken, it will come true.
他是命立就立，说有就有的上帝。
He is a God that fulfills what He has spoken.
他是绝对没有背负自己的上帝。
He will never betray Himself.
今天如果一些基督徒因为自己模糊，不明白神的应许，强解圣经的话。
Some Christians will try to interpret the Bible because of their own mistaken notions.
他才会从错误的盼望中间绝望下来。
And because of that, they have a hopeless situation.
但是那些在真正的应许中间建立盼望的人，最大的痛苦没有办法改变他们对神的信仰。
But for Christians who establish their hope in the truth, they will never change their hope in towards God.
神的应许只在一个人的身上。
His promises of God is upon one person.
成了万国万族的祝福。
And he became the blessings for all nations.
那一个人就是道成肉身的耶稣基督。
And this person is Jesus Christ, God incarnate.
上个礼拜我们做了三句话的结论。
And last week we had the summary of three verses.
你还记得吗？
Can you remember this?
在基督之外没有救主。
Other than Jesus Christ, there is no salvation.
在十架之外没有救法。
Other than the cross, there is no way of salvation.
在宝血之外没有赦罪之恩。
Apart from the blood, there is no saving grace.
我再讲一次，让你们大家再念一次，你就把这些重要的话牢记在心里。
I will say this again, and let's repeat it, and remember these three points.
除了基督之外，没有救主。
Apart from Christ, there is no other savior.
除了十架之外，没有救法。
Apart from the cross, there is no way of salvation.
除了宝血之外，没有赦罪的恩。
Apart from the precious blood, there is no saving grace.
大家一同说，一二三。 除了基督之外没有救主，除了十字架之外没有救法，除了宝血之外没有赦罪的恩。这是神在圣经里面很明确很真实给我们的应许。
This is the promise that God gave us in His word clearly.
上帝所有应许在基督里面都是是的。
And all the promises is fulfilled within Jesus.
都是阿们。
And they are all amen.
是我们从诚心深处里面对神可以完全投入、完全接受的。
And deep in our heart, we can trust in God.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to Him.
那么这样的基督就呈现了律法里面所隐藏的那个真正的美式婴儿的实体的那个价值。
And so Jesus fulfilled the true value that is represented on earth in shadow form.
这样旧约跟新约就互为因果了。
In this manner, we see a cause and effect in the Old and the New Testament.
互为理表了。
And we see the representation.
我们不是单单看外面表样。
Not only do we see the external.
我们更要认识里面的实体。
We want to understand the true value.
如果一个人只知道外面的表样，而没有真正抓到里面的实体的话，这个人是很可怜的。
If a person only understands the external but not the true value, it is quite pathetic and sad.
希伯来书的作者就是一个这样伟大的一个写信的人。
The author of Hebrews is such a great person.
他全本的书信就是把人提升到更美、更真实、更永恒、更实质的那个真正的神永恒的旨意。
The entire writing guides a person into the true essence of God.
更美、更美、更美、更美。这个字就贯穿了全本的书。
He used the word better sacrifices, better, better all the time.
如果犹太人就满足了旧约里面所有的意思的话
，If the Jews are stuck and satisfied with the Old Testament,
他们就没有更美的追求的一个动机在里面。
They will not be motivated to go for better things.
所以，如果他们明白希伯来书的作者所讲的，整个旧约的律法不过是一个现象，不过是个表样而已。
But if they understand that as the Hebrew, author of Hebrews says, the Old Testament is just a representation,
才会渴慕那更美的、更完全的、更真实的、更高的实体。
They will seek after the better and the more real essence in heaven.
二十三节一开始的时候
，And that's why chapter verse 23 starts.
他就听到照着天上样式所做的物件，必须用这些祭物去洁净。
By saying, for the copies of the heavenly things is to be purified with these sacrifices.
那么乃天上的本体，自然当用更美的祭物去洁净。
But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this.
所以这句话很清楚点出来了。
Clearly we see here.
这天上之物要以更美的天上的祭物去洁净。
That heavenly things themselves must be cleansed by better sacrifices.
地上的祭物是什么呢？
What are earthly offerings?
地上的祭物就是公牛、公羊。
The sacrifices are the calves and the goats.
虽然这些羊要无瑕疵，要一岁的时候，要很健壮的时候被选出来拿来献上。
Although these sacrifices are to be unblemished goats that are 1 year old.
但这些不过是地上。
But they are still earthly things.
属于地上的不是属于天上。
Because they belong to the earth and not from heaven.
地上的不过是天上的表样而已。
That which comes from the earth are just representation of heaven.
那真正的实体是在天上。
The true meaning is in heaven.
所以真正的祭品不应当从地上而来。
The true sacrifice should not come from the earth.
这个是非常清楚的一个逻辑。
This is a clear logic.
所以地上的东西既然是个表样。
Since the things of the earth is just a representation,
地上的祭物就不能真正做洁净了。
Sacrifices from the earth cannot fulfill cleansing.
天上的实体也不能用地上的祭物去成全。
And we cannot accomplish things in heaven by using things on earth.
所以这样就提到了人守的跟神守的不同的地方。
Here it tells us the difference between man-made and God-made.
那么耶稣基督在这一方面是谁呢？
Who is Jesus in this, all these things?
他并不是进入了人手所造的圣所。
He did not enter a man-made sanctuary.
这不过是真圣所的一个影像而已。
There was just a copy of the true one.
耶稣基督乃是进到了天堂。
He entered heaven itself.
那中文圣经和一本全本圣经只有一处在这里出现天堂两个字。
In the Chinese Bible, this is the only place where the word 天堂 appears.
这个字呢，其实是佛教徒的名字，不是基督教的名字。
Actually, the term in Chinese comes from Buddhists.
在原文里不是天堂，因为天堂给你一个印象，天上一个大礼堂。
The word 天堂 give you an idea that in heaven there is this huge hall.
其实原文意思就是天上。
But in the original language, it means the
至高至尊神居住的地方的意思。
The place where the God lives.
所以耶稣基督乃是进入天上。
Jesus Christ entered into heaven.
如今为我们显在上帝的面前。
To offer himself again and again.
也不是多次将自己献上。
Not that he entered and offered himself again and again.
像大祭司每年带着牛羊的血进入圣所。
The way the high priest entered into the most holy place every year.
如果耶稣是像那些大祭司一样的话。
If Jesus is like the high priest.
每年七月十号是最大日。带着血进到圣所。
On the tenth day of the seventh month, enter into the most holy place for the
atonement. 那么讲，不是说耶稣基督要常常受死。
Then he has to do the same thing all the time.
他要常常流血。
He has to bleed all the time.
他要每年献上这样洁净的祭物。
And every year he has to do the atonement.
但是圣经告诉我们不是的。
But the Bible says no.
天上的永恒者。
The eternal one in heaven.
所定的永恒的祭物。
The eternal sacrifice.
地上的影像是不一样。
It's different from what is done on earth.
地上的献祭不过是天上的影子。
The sacrifice on earth is just a shadow of heaven.
地上用的祭品是被造的牛羊。
The sacrifices are calves and goats that have been made.
进去的是进的地上的帐幕。
And he entered into man-made sanctuary.
天上用的祭品是神自己的独生子。
But the sacrifice used in heaven is the Son of God himself.
既然就是永远的灵，把自己一次献上，去成全直到永远。
He gave of himself through the eternal spirit to accomplish it forever.
他不是多次受害。
He does not suffer for many times.
他不是多次被定。
He does not get crucified for many times.
一次被定，一次我们的罪受害，一次为我们死而已。
He was crucified once, suffered for our sins once, and died for us once.
进到天上的至圣处。
And entered into the inner sanctuary in heaven.
所以这里很清楚给我们看见，整个律法制度里面的献祭不过是地上的东西。
Here we see the entire sacrificial system is earthly.
所献的祭是比人更低的东西。
And the sacrifice are things that are lower than the human.
牛羊既然比人更低，他的血就没有办法解决人犯罪的事情。
And since the calf and the goat is lower in status than a human being, the blood cannot cleanse us.
我再提前几个礼拜跟你们讲了三对的名词。
In a few weeks ago, I mentioned three different terms.
就是 the future is now.
First one is 未来就是现在。
Here is there.
这里就是那里。
Once is forever.
一次就是永远。
那如果犹太人知道这个事情的话，
If the Jews understand this,
他们就突破了限制。
They would have broken through their limitation.
他们就从世纪中间出来了。
And they will escape from the limitation of the
world. 享受真理永恒的旨意。
And enjoy the eternal truth.
什么叫 the future is now 呢？
What does the future is now?
因为他们过去所盼望的未来，未来，未来，到底未来是不是永远的未来？
The future that are looking forward to, is it in the far future?
未来就是还未来嘛。
You say its future means it's not
here. 所以还没有来吗？
Meaning that it's
not here. 所以每一年他们说未来。
And every year they say it will come.
过了几百年还是未来。
After a few centuries, it's
still to come. 过了几千年还是未来。
A few millennium, it will still come.
所以未来是 always a future, remain a future forever and ever.
就是永永远还没有来，
所以没有办法把这个未来变成已经来的事情。
It is not something that can make present right now.
耶稣基督到世界上来
，But when Jesus Christ came,
他就把未来变成已经来了。
He brought the future to now.
我小的时候听过一个笑话。
When I was young, I heard a joke.
有一个人经过一个餐馆。
He says a person passed by a restaurant.
上面写了一个大牌子，明天吃饭不必钱。
And saw a sign that says tomorrow all the food is free.
你们听过这个事情没有？
Have you heard the thing like that?
所以他很高兴了。
And he was very happy.
又平常吝啬的不得了，现在有慷慨的机会了。
And he's very thrifty. This is a place to eat.
他们带了一大堆的朋友，明天就进到了餐馆，冲进去就大吃。
He brought a lot of friends, went into the restaurant, and they had a good meal.
吃完了出来的时候，
when they were about to leave,
大摇大摆出来了。
When they were wanted to leave comfortably,
应该生就跑出来抓住他了。
The waiter came and grabbed him.
先生，你还没有付钱，你怎么跑出来？
And said, you have not paid, how can you go?
你不必跟着捣蛋。
He said, go away.
我昨天明明在你们前面看见。
Yesterday I saw the sign.
你们牌子说了，明天吃饭不必钱。
Your sign says tomorrow.
昨天我看到，今天我来吃，因为我的今天就是昨天的明天。
Because today is the tomorrow of yesterday.
是的，先生，昨天你看到的。
And the waiter said yes.
明天吃饭不必钱。
that tomorrow is free.
当然你今天来吃，你是今天吃，不是明天吃。
But you come today, not tomorrow.
当然你讲什么？
You say what you're
talking. 今天就是昨天的明天。
Today is the tomorrow of yesterday.
你是今天吃饭的。
But you add today.
所有今天吃饭都要还钱，只有明天吃饭不还钱。
It's only free tomorrow, not today.
那么你吃的都是今天，你从来不会明天吃，对不对？
You cannot eat tomorrow, right?
他还不懂。 他说明天吃饭不还钱。
He said, I don't have to pay tomorrow.
你不相信我带你去看。
Let me show you the
他到外面看了，牌子还在那边，明天吃饭不付钱。
The sign is still there, tomorrow everything is free.
明天在哪里呢？
Where is tomorrow then?
明天永远是明天。
Tomorrow will always be the future.
你过了一天又有明天的明天。
There is a tomorrow of tomorrow.
明天从来还没有到。
Tomorrow will never come.
大家说一二三， 明天从来还没有到， 所以要不付钱，明天吃饭不付钱。
And you only tomorrow is.
今天吃饭要付钱。
Today you have to pay.
明天永远是明天。
Tomorrow will always.
明天从来没有到。
It will never arrive.
犹太人就用这个办法来盼望弥赛亚来到。
The Jews look forward to the coming of the Messiah.
弥赛亚来吧，弥赛亚来，还没有来，明天会来。
Tomorrow he'll come.
明天会来，明天会来，所以永远不来临的明天。
They have a tomorrow that will never arrive.
所以他们只有一个 unknown future， 没有一个 accomplished today。
And they have an unknown future, no accomplished today.
你明白这个意思吗？
Do you understand?
所以希伯来书的作者告诉他，不是的。
The author of Hebrews says no.
你们久久盼望，望眼一串，苦苦等候的，已经来了，你还看不见。
That which you have looked forward to so earnestly is already here.
基督已经来了。
Christ is here.
基督已经成全了。
Christ has accomplished.
基督已经进到圣所了。
Christ has entered into inner sanctuary.
进到哪个圣所呢？
Which sanctuary?
天上那个圣所。
The sanctuary in heaven.
不是地上这个圣所。
Not the earthly.
为什么呢？ 因为地上的圣所已经没有了。
Because the earthly sanctuary is gone.
地上的殿，所罗门的殿已经被烧掉了。
The temple of Solomon has been destroyed.
现在你们在建的这个殿也是要被烧掉。
And this temple right now will be destroyed.
每次圣殿被烧掉，就没有大祭司可能进圣所的。
Every time it's destroyed, there is no entering into the sanctuary by the high priest.
大祭司不能进圣所，以色列的罪就不得赦免。
And there will be no atonement for the Israelites.
每年要进圣所一次。
Every year you ought to enter the sanctuary.
罪人的罪就得赦免了。
For atonement of the sin.
明年再有罪。
Next year the same.
大祭司再进圣所一次。
The high priest before he enters.
他们罪人的罪再得赦免。
And they look forward to the sacrifice.
他们圣殿被烧以后。
After the temple has been destroyed,
犹太人没有圣所可以进去,
the Jews did not have a sanctuary.
没有幔子可以弹靴在上面,
there is no curtain for the sprinkling of the blood.
那么到底罪怎么得到赦免呢?
Then what happens to the sin?
这里是耶稣进去的是天上那个圣所。
Here it tells us that Jesus entered into the sanctuary in heaven.
所以不但 future is now,
not only does the future come becomes now,
here is there.
这里就是那里。
耶稣进到天上的圣所。
Jesus Christ entered into the sanctuary in heaven.
这里是样子,
this is a shadow right here.
这里是个影子吧,
that which you see is a shadow.
不是重要,
this is not important.
那里才是真的,
but there is important.
当我讲到这里的时候,
when I reach this
我再想到梵蒂冈博物馆里面一个很大的图画,
I remember this great painting in Vatican Museum.
这个图画占了整个房间的一个墙壁。
This is, it occupies a wall in the room.
是谁画的?
Who drew this?
是 Raffaello Sanchio所画的。
It's from Raffaello Sanchio.
Raffaello Sanchio是文艺复兴高派里面最大的三个美术家之一。
He is one of the three most important painters in the Renaissance.
第一个就是 Leonardo da Vinci.
The first one is Leonardo da Vinci.
第二个就是 Michelangelo.
Second is Michelangelo.
第三就是他。
And he's the third
那么当他活在世界上的时候,
when he was alive,
这两个老人家还在。
These other two painters were
alive. 他们年龄都比他大得多,
but they were old.
但是他是忽然间出现的年轻，这个新出之势。
He was a young artist that suddenly emerged.
画图的时候,
when he painted,
有给人很清新的、非常天真无邪的那些瞬间的迷人的感觉。
He was able to bring a refreshing innocence into his painting.
可以用一句话来表达。
We can describe it in a sentence.
Raffaello 所画的女子,
the women that Raffaello painted,
可以显出她们根本绝对没有沾性里面的一切的罪恶。
Can see that they are completely pure from all kinds of sins.
所以他们把那真正圣洁的女子的面貌表现出来。
He was able to express a truly saintly woman.
他所画的 Madonna,
the Madonna that he painted,
那种天真圣洁严肃的这种神情，从来没有一个人能够具起用。
he was able to paint a very saintly expression on these
paintings.
In the entire history of art in the West, he is unique. Not only did he surpass all before him, history shows that there is no one after him that can compare. After Raphael, there are many great painters. They try to paint the Madonna. But the expression from the eyes, from the lips, the entire harmony in holiness, the unity in posture and facial expression, not a single person can beat him. He was a great painter. But I'm not talking about the Madonna or the Holy Family. I want to talk about a secular painting. What is this painting?
The School of Athens.
It's the School of Athens.
雅典学派. 雅典学派是什么意思?
What is the School of Athens?
专化希腊哲学.
He drew about Greek philosophy.
也就是从苏格拉底以前到苏格拉底以后那几百年的哲学家的这个形象.
Several centuries of Greek philosophers.
那他的构想是什么呢?
What was his thinking?
就把所有希腊的哲学家把它云集这个大的房子大的殿宇的中间.
He gathered all the philosophers and painted them within one hall.
这些殿宇有罗马式的后门.
And there is a Roman pillar there.
有希腊裸体的雕刻.
And also Greek sculpture.
有非常大的圆顶的这个形象.
And a round dome.
是光线从外面进来.
The light comes from outside.
照着殿里面的情形.
And illuminated the hall.
我给他认为是好像光线一个很调和的洗礼.
And it is a baptism of light.
是每一个被画在其中的人,
every person that was depicted,
都有不同的神态.
They all had different expressions.
他们的神态都表达了他们所具有的那种哲学的智慧.
The expression shows their philosophical wisdom.
所以苏格拉底在里面,
Socrates is depicted.
Herodotus在里面,
Herodotus.
这个Pythagoras在里面,
Pythagoras.
Euclid在里面,
and Euclid.
这个Archimedes在里面，Archimedes.
Plato在里面, and Plato.
Anaximander在里面,
Anaximander.
虚无的哲学都在里面,
all these philosophers were depicted.
这个Democritus也在里面,
and Democritus.
无论有神的无神的哲学家,
it doesn't matter whether they're atheists or not.
无论形上的形下的哲学家,
or metaphysical or not.
无论是政治的伦理的哲学家,
political or ethical.
他都全部画在里面,
he depicted all of them.
有画了一个不是希腊哲学家的, 独一个不是的, 就是他自己也放在里面.
And included one who is not Greek, that's himself.
他不但把这一个呢, 希腊哲学放在里面,
not only did he depict all the Greek philosophers,
把埃及的Ptolemy, 那一个对天文学的那个思想家也放在里面.
He also put Ptolemy, the Egyptian astronomer.
洋洋大观.
It is a huge painting.
热热闹闹.
A lot of people.
但是你看去的时候, 绝对不是纷乱的图画.
But it doesn't look confused.
非常有层次。
There are different areas and layers.
非常引人入胜, 一个思想家集合的一个吸引力。
And there's attraction because there's a gathering of all the thinkers.
但当我注意这段话的时候,
but when I took note of this painting,
我发现有两个人是有特别的地位。
Two of them stood out.
这两个人是谁?
Who was this?
一个是柏拉图。
First one is Plato.
一个是阿里斯多德。
And Aristotle.
柏拉图是老的。
Plato was Aristotle depicted as young.
历史上的记载就是这样.
And this is the way history records it.
因为柏拉图做老师的时候,
when Plato was a teacher,
这个人收了许多的学生,
he had many students.
阿里斯多德是从马其顿下来的一个年轻人。
And Aristotle came from Macedonia.
当然年龄比他小得多了,
and surely younger than him.
所以呢，这个Raffaello就要用怎样的形象来代替柏拉图年老的那种神智，那个有知识、有智慧的这种这个老经验的人。
And Raffaello needed to depict this Plato as a person who is wise and aged.
他就把柏拉图画成达芬奇的形象。
And he drew Plato as if he looked like Da Vinci.
达芬奇呢，就是当时意大利文艺复兴最智慧的人。
At that time, people considered Da Vinci to be the most wise person.
他把达芬奇的面孔放在柏拉图的面上。
And he put Da Vinci's face on Plato's head.
这个老老的人,
a old person,
但是精神奕奕,
but still strong,
挺身昂首,
and standing straight.
手拿着一本厚厚的书,
he took a very thick book in his hand.
教导人,
to teach.
觉得神气非凡,
and he looks very
strong. 旁边的一个学生,
a student beside him,
站着一样高,
a same height，
与他一样地位的身份的样子。
As if he's the same stage，
其实是他的学生。
Actually, his student。
这个学生是所有学生里面最有头脑的。
It is the most intelligent student among them。
叫做什么？阿里斯多德。
It's Aristotle。
又有理有德。那这个学生呢，很勇敢，因为他敢跟老师辩论。
This is a bold student who debated with the teacher。
好在他不生在中国。
Fortunately, he doesn't. It was not born in China.
早就开除掉了。
Or if not, he would be fired.
阿里斯多德呢，看见老师讲的，他感到不对，他就变。
Aristotle debated with the teacher.
那么这个老师会不会恼羞成怒呢？
Was the teacher angry with him?
柏拉图不是这样的。
That was not the case for Plato.
柏拉图心胸广大。
He had a very open heart.
所以他可以接纳不同的意见。
And was able to accept different opinions.
因为他清楚知道这个辩论的人是很有头脑的人。
Because he knew that this student was a very intelligent person.
就如果说柏拉图肩膀特别宽。
If we say that Plato had a good attitude,
我想大概阿里斯多的头特别大。
I think Aristotle must have a big brain.
原来柏拉图原来的名字不是柏拉图，叫 Aristoteles。
Oh, the original name of Plato was Aristotle.
所以这个就跟 Aristotle 有点一样。
It's about the same as Aristotle.
为什么 Aristotle 变成 Plato 呢？
Why did he change his name?
就因为他的肩膀特别宽，人家把他叫做宽的宽的 ，Plato 就是宽的意思。
Because a broad shoulder, so that we use the word Plato.
所以一生一世呢，就脱离不了人家给他的一个臭名。
And this is a nickname he had.
Plato 就是平原的意思，广宽的平原。
Plato is a plain.
所以这个人的这个身材特别宽，叫做 Plato， 就是。
He had huge shoulders.
那么这个学生呢，厉害到一个地步。
This student was so intelligent.
柏拉图自己讲。
Plato himself said,
My academy is only composed of two factors.
我的学校里面只有两个因素。
这个 academy 学院这个字就从他来的。
The word academy came from him.
我的学院只有两件事组成的。
There are, it's made up of only two things.
第一，
Firstly,
所有学生的身体。
The body of all the students.
第二，
Secondly,
阿里斯多德的头脑。
The brain of Aristotle.
那你听懂了吗？其他学生都没有头脑。
That means all the students have no
brain. 有头脑的只有一个。
Only one.
所以这个学生跟他辩得很干练。
He was willing to debate with
his students. 那么阿里斯多德那个辩论的基本西方教育的一个原理。
And this became the principle of education in the West.
什么原理呢？真理越辩越明。
Then truth will be known through debate.
所以真理不分师生高低。
The truth will not segregate between the teacher and the students. You have to be bold.
所以西方的民主比东方走得快。
Democracy in the West therefore progressed faster.
西方的创新比东方更有成就。
And in the West they are more creative.
因为敢面对挑战。
They are able to face the challenges.
敢面对辩论。
They dare to debate.
阿里斯多德就讲一句话。
Aristotle said,
他说我爱老师。
He said, I love my teacher.
你的老师怎么能一直跟他辩论呢？
But how can you debate?
你怎么这样没有礼貌呢？
How can you be so rude?
他怎么回答呢？
His answer,
我爱老师。
I love my teacher.
但是我爱真理过于爱老师。
But I love the truth more than I love my teacher.
这个就变成西方一个很著名的格言了。
This become a very important quotation in the West.
那么这两个人呢？
These two persons.
他们的思想超过所有哲学家的思想。
Are able to think beyond all other philosophers.
在包括他的老师苏格拉底来说。
Including their teacher Socrates.
我个人这样看。
When I look at all these people.
这三个人头脑闪过的东西，是全世界历史中间所有的人闪过的东西。
I think that all three of them have stopped the thoughts of all humanity.
所以你一生所想的最有价值的东西，全世界都想过，大概这三个大脑子都想过。
I think these three minds would have covered all great things, thoughts of humanity.
Raffaello 为了尊重这两个人
，because Raffaello had great respect for these people.
他不是把他画得特别大、特别胖，不是的。
He did not draw them as fat.
他把他画在哪里呢？
He drew them right in the middle.
是整个哲学家的中心人。
To become the central figures in philosophy.
够不够吗？
Is that enough?
不够。
Not enough.
画在中间的时候。
Other than drawing in the middle.
特别把这两个人的背景画在天空里面。
He drew a background of the sky.
因为这个艳遇呢，中间有一个红形的罗马式的门。
There is a Roman-shaped door.
门的外面是天空，无际的天空。
Beyond that is the infinite sky.
拉斐尔就把柏拉图跟阿里斯多德两个人放在这个门背着天空无际的宇宙的这个地点上。
And Raffaello placed these two characters right in front of the never-ending sky.
用这个办法表示他对这两个人的尊重。
To use this way to express his respect.
这样什么尊重呢？
What sort of respect?
他的意思是说，其他的哲学的头脑都是被限制在有形世界范围里面的头脑，
He was trying to say that these two persons had universal thoughts, not like the rest of the philosophers. And this artist was himself a philosopher. And he expressed philosophy through lines and shapes. Philosophers are the artists as well. The philosophers expresses the art in their thoughts, in words. When Plato is standing there, with a book, pointing upwards, with a huge forearm, with great authority. Aristotle was the same. He took another book, pointing downwards. What does it represent? It represents the cosmological understanding of the West. In Plato's thinking, material and
form and matter,
is
must
separated.
Be separated. 所以呢, 形色在物质之外,
form is beyond a material.
阿里说的不行,
Aristotle said no.
形色在物质之内,
form is within material. Plato said the true world is up there, not here.
阿里说的不是真正的世界,
Aristotle said no, it's right here, not there.
这张图里面要讲的话,
there are many things that the painting is trying to tell us.
这张图里面的一点点讲出来,
I haven't even finished a little bit of it.
因为再讲这个 Pythagoras的形态, 再讲这个 Democritus, 那这一堂就讲不完了。
Because different philosophers show different things.
那么,拉图的观念是什么呢?
What is the concept of Plato?
他说有一个完全的叫做 Eidos.
He said there is a perfect idealism called Eidos.
Eidos就是英文 idea的源头.
That is where the word ideal comes from.
每一个人都有理想.
Every one of us have an idea.
每一个人都有观念.
We have a concept.
每一个人都有求全的心理.
We all want perfection.
每一个人绝对的概念.
We have an absolute concept.
但在世上你找不到绝对.
But we cannot find it on earth.
你世上找不到完全.
We cannot find perfection.
这世界是不完全.
So we say the world is not perfect.
当你找到你的爱人, 你以为这就是最美最美, 最理想的时候, 原来才知道他脾气坏得不得了。
When you find someone you love, you think that this is the best person, then you discover he's a bad person. So we say the world doesn't have anything that's idealistic. So the idea is up there. What about here? This is a shadow. Plato has a greater and wider understanding than Aristotle. Some people say that Plato is the father of idealism. And this is the way philosophers describe
it.
I taught philosophy for more than 3 decades and I compared with the Bible. Today you will hear something that you will not see in other books. This passage tells us the sanctuary on earth is just made a copy of the heaven one. And the true object is there and not here.
应当成为西方唯心论的一个真正的一个启发思想的源头。
This should be the source of inspiration for idealism in the West.
你说怎么可能?
How should this be?
这个观念是从摩西里面带出来。
This concept came from Moses.
上帝对摩西说,
God said to Moses,
我在山上指示你的,
the instruction I give you on the mountain,
你要照着去做出来。
You must follow it.
所以当你做的时候,
and when you make it,
照着原先的计划,
you are doing it based on the original plan.
先有计划,
the first plan.
后有实体,
and then we have the object.
先有计划,
first we have the plan.
后有实体在形体上的表现,
then we have the expression in true object.
照样的,新加坡许多很漂亮的建筑物,
in the same manner, many architecture in Singapore, they did not just emerge.
先在工程者的观念中,
first it comes from the concept of the engineer. He will think about it.
他计划,
and plan.
在他里面中间全部弄清楚,
and have it conceptualized.
然后画下来,
and then he will draw it.
画下来以后呢, 交给人去算,
he will give it to
算清楚了以后, 去找材料,
and then we will get
材料找到以后, 把它建起来,
and build it.
所建的就是要符合那真正有创思的设计者心中的理想。
And the building is the object of design in the person who is creative.
所以呢，所有的建筑还没有成功以前
，before all the buildings are built，
都曾在观念界里面曾经出现。
It will first exist in the concept，
那么曾在物质界里面表达出来。
And then express in the material。
那么就是 form and matter must be united。
So you say form and matter must come together。
这个是阿里士多德的世界。
This is Aristotle's world。
Form and matter must be separated。
It must be separated。
这是柏拉图的世界。
The Plato belief。
那么圣经告诉我们什么
？What did the Bible say？
是世界合乎神旨意的事情，是神。永恒中间所定
things that on earth that is pleasing to him has been set by God in his eternal will.
柏拉图的 idols 是什么？他从来不能解释清楚。
Plato cannot explain what idols is.
圣经告诉我们，真正的实体是神永恒的旨意。
But the Bible tells us that the true object is the eternal will of God.
这样，我相信连柏拉图的唯心论都是受了摩西的启发。
And here I believe that even Plato is inspired by Moses.
因为这样的观念在其他的文化里面没有出现。
This concept cannot be seen in all other cultures.
摩西在3500年前
，3,500 years ago，
照着上帝的吩咐对他讲这样的话。
Moses said all this based on
the law. 你所造的会幕。
The sanctuary that you build.
照着在山上所指示你的样式。
You must follow according to the instruction given to you.
所以你造出来的东西
，the things that you have built，
不过是那原先指定的东西那个样子的影子而已。
It's a copy of the original that has been set in his view.
我再把这个东西再发挥的时候
，when I express this further，
我发现连这个苏格拉底他的一神观都是从圣经得到启发。
The monotheistic idea of Socrates came also from God.
希腊人的神是堕落之后人败坏的理性想出来的神。
The Greek gods are imagined after the fallen reason of man.
那些神的这个伦理远不如那些拜他们的人的伦理。
The ethics of these gods are far less superior than the men.
所以苏格拉底绝对不接受这个事情。
And Socrates did not.
苏格拉底相信一位最高的神是天上的神，不是这些神话学里面的神。
Socrates believed that the greatest God is the God of heaven, not from mythology.
这样的圣经的多神论是早过苏格拉底1000多年。
The monotheistic idea of the Bible is earlier than Socrates by 1000 years.
圣经的这个本体论是早过柏拉图的这个观念论1000多年。
The concept of the original object is earlier than Socrates.
摩西是主前1500年的人。
Moses was a person that lived 1,700 years.
柏拉图是主前300多年的人。
And Plato is 300 BC.
所以摩西比柏拉图早了1200年。
Moses therefore was earlier by 1,200 years.
这本圣经是真正伟大思想家的思想的启发的绝对的泉源。
And this Bible therefore is the absolute inspiration for many great thinkers.
这样的话
，In this manner,
犹太人你应当知道。
The Jews ought to know.
希伯来人你应当明白。
The Hebrews ought to understand.
地上的会幕算不得什么。
That this sanctuary on earth is nothing.
地上的圣所不过是影子。
The sanctuary is but a shadow.
你要思想天上的。
You must think about the heaven.
耶稣就到世界上来。
When Christ came to earth,
所成就的。
That which he has
不是为了这地上的影子而已
，It's not for the shadow on earth，
是天上永远的旨意
，But for the eternal will of God。
所以 the future is now，
所以未来是现在
，Here is there，
这里就是那里。
那么耶稣进到圣所的时候
，When Jesus entered into the sanctuary，
他是进了天上的圣所
，He entered into the heavenly sanctuary，
不是进入地上的圣所
，Not the earthly one。
当祭司们大祭司70号赎罪大人一个人一次。一年只可一次进到圣所的时候
，When the high priest entered into the sanctuary on the day of atonement，
他们用牛羊的血在幔子上面淌了7次
，He was sprinkled the blood of the calves and the goats 7 times on the curtain，
他才能进去
，Before he enters into
这样，耶稣基督呢是完完全全用他完全无瑕无疵的血来带到上帝的至圣所面前
，But Jesus entered into the inner sanctuary once with his unblemished blood。
感谢上
，Thanks be to God。
这样，基督就像旧约的大祭司一样。
So in this way, Jesus Christ is like the high priest of the old testament。
他为所有属于他的人所赎罪。
He gave atonement for all who belong to him。
干了这个血。
And he sprinkled his blood。
献上他自己的血。
And gave of his own blood。
是借着永远的灵把自己无瑕无疵的献上。
Through the eternal spirit, he gave of himself unblemished.
祭司弹七次，为什么七次
？Why did the high priest sprinkle 7 times?
因为七就是3+4，大家说，
七
就是3+4。你说这个我早就懂了，你还要讲？你说七不等于6+1，我也知道了。7等于2+5。
Seven is also 2+5
我告诉你
6+1
不可以的
You can't say that、again.
这里要明白的七等于三加四
We must remember seven is 3+4
你的三是什么数目
What is three?
三是神的数目
It is the number of God
三是天的数目
It's the heavenly number
三是主的数目
It's the number of the Lord
四是什么数目
What is four?
四是地的数目
It's the number of
是人的数目
the number of man
是世界的数目
the number of the world
你怎么解释呢
how do I explain this
三是神的数目
three is the number of God
圣在圣在圣在
holy holy holy
几次啊
how many times
三次
three times
耶和华的灵才能我来即位啊
the spirit of God comes upon me
三位
three
圣父圣子圣灵
God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
几个位格啊?
How many persons?
三个位格。
Three persons.
上帝在天里，天上的天不够他住，他在三层天，几层呢?
How many layers of heaven? Three layers.
耶稣死了几天复活呢?
How many days after the resurrection?
三天复活，第三天复活。
The third day of resurrection.
这个数目，三的数目是神的数目。
Three, therefore, is the number of God.
是天上的数目。
The number of heaven.
是属于灵性的、荣耀的上帝的数目。
In spirit is glorifying to God.
那为什么四是地上的数目呢
？What about four? Then?
是不是汉满蒙族？这这个几个民族就是四个呢
？Is it the four race of
China?
No.
因为地有南、东西、南北。
Because on earth there's not south, east, west.
所以有四个方向。
There are four directions.
你从小从来没有说的地只有三个方向。
You will never say there's only three directions.
全世界就是四个方向。
Everybody believe knows that four directions.
东西南北四个方向。
North, south, east, west.
我们把时间分成四季，春夏秋冬。
We have four seasons.
为什么呢？
Why?
你的时间方面，四是地的数目；空间方面，四也是地的数目。
Because in both time and space, four is the number of the earth.
三加四等于什么？
What is 3 plus 4 then?
七，这表示神以人而唯一的一个数。
It is God and man together.
你进到至圣所的时候
，When you enter into the inner sanctuary,
你就是进到神人合一的一个地位。
You enter into the status where God and man is one.
至圣就是神所应许立约的约柜的地方。
This is the place where the promise and the ark of the covenant is.
至圣是代表神人同在的地方。
It represents God being with men.
所以你弹血七次。
You've got to sprinkle seven times.
七是完全的数目。
A perfect number.
是神人合一的完整的数目。
A representation of God and man in one.
耶稣是进到天上的至圣所。
But Jesus entered into the heavenly sanctuary.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
那么这一段圣经还有几节很重要的经文。
There are still several very important verses.
我不先谈那些。
I won't talk about it first.
我要谈的这段圣经出现三次一个重要的字。
But there is a very important word that appeared three times.
什么呢？就是显现。显现，显现。
That is appearing, appearing, appearing.
显现。